We are joined by attorney Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. And Jeff, before we start talking about other things, let me just get your overview of the Vikings game.
They never make it easy, do they?
No, they don't.
I mean, you know, they're up 20 to 3, and you thought, hey, this might be the one that they really put these guys away early, and but then third quarter happens, and they let them right back in it. And you know, you got to give credit. You know, the defense has been, you know, often criticized this year, but they did. You know, you had two goal line stands. You had the you know, the one touchdown that was quite, you know, that they had to find on replay, the two interceptions. I mean, the defense kept them in the game for the offense to win it when the offense wasn't doing anything. And it was funny when Harrison Smith picked off that first pass on the first drive, and I'm like, why is he trying to do so much to try to make a play out of this? And then you have the offense take the field, and you're like, oh, because that.
Yeah. well, again, they really do make them very close for comfort, and we're talking 9 wins. 9 of the 10 wins have been by 8 points or less, which is a staggering number. But I've always said, the good teams win the close games. So they're doing it, except can't keep forget those Eagles and Cowboys. All right, let's move on to some non-Vikings and football stuff. The name Jennifer Carnahan might be familiar to listeners. She had been the head of the GOP until about a year or so ago, maybe a little bit more than that. Then she ran for her husband's seat. He wound up dying. And what was his name again?
Jim Hagedorn.
Jim Hagedorn, thank you. Down in CD1. And now she's suing the Minnesota GOP because she felt that they breached the contract. But they, see, this is what you have to be careful with when you sue someone, because they don't, often don't just sit there and say, okay, we'll give you the money you want. What happened, Jeff, after she sued?
She filed her complaint, and the Republican Party of Minnesota filed an answer and a counterclaim. And if this is related to the separation agreement that was allegedly signed in about August or so of 2021, where she walked away with $38,000 severance after all of that stuff came to light that summer. And the party is countersuing, saying that there wasn't authority to enter into that agreement. And, hey, you breached your fiduciary duties, so we're suing you as well. So, yeah, so the Republican Party is, like you said, is not just sitting back and saying, okay, they're countersuing, but there was a paragraph in their counterclaim, both of these, the complaint and the counterclaim, are online. And there was a line that apparently she has, because she's claiming that she's lost opportunities because of this disparagement in violation of the agreement. And the party's answer or counterclaim suggests that she's been asking for more money from the party for some time and then finally filed the lawsuit.
Oh, so she's okay. So she's greedy. I mean, she thought she would just waltz right into her husband's seat, and he died of cancer. Yep. And there was a famous line, and I would be paraphrasing it, but I mean, she did not show empathy for her husband in his final weeks or months when she made a comment about him being gone. Or
during the whole row that led to her resignation, there was a voicemail or something. There was an audio released of her saying that he's going to die soon.
Yes.
And it made it sound like she was just setting herself up to run for his seat, which and she absolutely was.
Yep. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot going on in the world, and this Twitter thing is just explosive. What's interesting is Elon Musk announced Friday night, that he dropped a bunch of information that showed that Twitter was colluding with the Biden administration before they actually won, but the Biden group, to essentially tilt the election in his favor. And every major news organization, the ones who are always pounding away on Trump and Republicans, ignored it. So they basically, they did not want to get this out because they were complicit in it, right?
They didn't even, it wasn't just ignoring it. They actively suppressed the story, suspended accounts on Twitter that were, linking to this New York Post story, and basically scrubbed any mention of the Hunter Biden laptop story off of Twitter in the days leading up to the days and weeks leading up to the 2020 election.
Well, but what I'm talking about, Jeff, is they ignored the story from the other night. No mention of it in New York Times or Washington Post. I mean, they continue to be complicit.
No. Yeah, they don't want they want to write this off as, oh, you know, so what? They didn't want to put out these, you know, they're focusing on the pornographic pictures and some of that stuff, those aspects of what's on this laptop. Because Hunter Biden had some really vile things on this laptop. But what's relevant here, and why the Washington Post, the New York Times, and other media outlets should be concerned about this, is you have a sitting vice president who is now the president of the United States, and there's a legitimate question as to what extent was he involved with his son's business dealings, many of which were with foreign governments or foreign actors.
Including and to what extent, the Ukraine and China.
Yes, and to what extent did he direct policy when he was in the White House as vice president based on these activities? And if you recall, Bob, Donald Trump was impeached. His first impeachment was related to a phone call that he had with the president of the Ukraine asking for an investigation into Biden's activities in the Ukraine.
There's video of him saying either you're fire, basically your attorney general, you're not going to get billions of dollars in aid.
The laptop story brings into question the entire first impeachment of Trump.
Well, Biden will be impeached when the Republicans take it. Won't go anywhere, you know, when they take over the House of Representatives. And then you have to wonder too, all this money that continues being funneled to the Ukraine without any congressional, interaction. Is alarming.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Especially in light of this, all this stuff that was on the laptop. And a lot of people, the left is coming out hard after Elon Musk. I'm glad he's letting people know and not keeping them in the dark.
Absolutely. So, absolutely.
And then there's the other story I wanted to talk to you about. Putin. Vladimir Putin fell down. Now, there's reports that he has cancer and that he's not doing well. But he fell in his home and pooped himself.
That's the story.
I don't think there's anything that, if you come up with anything evil that happens to him or something, nothing could be as bad as what he's been doing. So in a sense, it's like a karmic thing. He deserves to suffer, which is a terrible thing to say maybe, but this guy... He needs to be taken. The people in Russia, his people around him, need to remove him from power because he's the type of guy has that belief that, well, if I go, I'm taking everybody with me. And he's the type to have a nuclear attack on people because he's so angry that he's dying.
Well, and that, Bob, is I think the salient part of this story is just we continue to hear reports that he has some sort of cancer or terminal cancer or advanced stage cancer. If this is his going out in a blaze of glory, the world needs to be concerned.
Yes, absolutely, because he doesn't care. And he's also, I don't know if he ever was thinking straight, but he's not. I mean, his mind could be damaged by all of this that's going on. And I do believe he's so evil that he does believe if I go, everyone goes. And that's absolutely frightening. And, what is being dealt with now, and hopefully they can get the courage to remove him and get things quiet again in that region of the world. So we'll have to wait and see. Now, I wanted to circle back. Jen Psaki gave me that term. Circle back to the Vikings. This game against Detroit, I thought that the Jets and Detroit were the last two tough games that they would have. And I'm wondering where you are on that.
They make every game a tough game. You know, they have, I mean, seriously, anytime you're playing a division team, I think it's a tough game. They still have to go to Green Bay, which is never an easy game. I know the Packers have been beat up, but the Packers, hey, look at the Packers, hung with Philly here last week in a way that we didn't.
Yeah.
And the Bears, they still got to play on the road against three division rivals, and they can barely beat the Jets at home.
Well, again, it'll be an interesting close. I still think that in the end, the Vikings will be the number two seed no matter what record they finish with, because the other teams just aren't doing anything.
Right. When you look at it, you know, I would say that right now I'd probably have to rank them as the third best team in the NFC, but the second best team is in the same conference as the first best team,
so
Dallas is going to end up getting a wild card.
And they would have been the fourth best team, except what happened to Jimmy Garoppolo, season-ending foot injury. So,
yeah.
But I'll tell you what, San Francisco still has, if this Brock Purdy, the rookie, can get the ball to those great players he has around him, put it this way, there'll be a lot of dump-offs to Christian McCaffrey, and that's not the worst thing that could happen to an offense.
Right.
All right, Jeff, as always, greatly appreciate it. Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone, take a quick break. The BS Show will be right back. We got more Vikings talk coming up.